but I've got to get to my conversation with Rabbi Yoel Karen. He is one of our broadcast partners that brings such important information to the table when we have a conversation, helping you to understand some of the activities pertaining to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, preparations to build the next temple. And in our conversation today, we're going to be talking about Yom Kippur as well. It's the holiest of the holy days that the Jewish people are commanded by the Word of God, Leviticus chapter 23, to observe on a yearly basis. Now, I want to talk about this with you, Rabbi, from the perspective of how Jewish people today. Let me start by making this statement. One of the most amazing days that I've ever seen and amazing things that I've ever seen in any nation of the world has to be Yom Kippur in the state of Israel. My wife Judy and I lived there for the last 23 years. And on that day, it's amazing to me to see the entire nation totally shut down. Some of the busy thoroughfares that are normally crowded with all types of automobiles, buses and cars and people on motorcycles or whatever, and they're totally empty. And maybe little children on a tricycle out there riding around with their family in the afternoon of Yom Kippur. But it is the holiest day in Judaism. And this is a day, a fast day today. But in the times of the temple, it was a very serious day as well, when the high priest one time in a year would go into that Holy of Holies to do what the Lord had called him to do. Talk to me about that. And today you don't have the temple, so it's a 25-hour fast. Explain all of this.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, Yom Kippur, I was just telling someone today, it has really, over the years, it's become my favorite of all the holidays. And that might seem sort of strange, but it really is. There's an awesomeness about everything that goes on and the prayers that we say and everything during Yom Kippur that you just don't get anywhere else. Yom Kippur is sort of like, I compare it to when the Torah was given, when the five books were given to Moses at Sinai. It's that sort of a feeling of awesomeness. When the Lord told the people, stand back and don't come near the mountain, and he gave them all sorts of restrictions not to be doing anything frivolous on that day, it's the same sort of a feeling during Yom Kippur, because you know something awesome is going on. And God has said, this is the day that I make atonement for you. And we see during everything that the high priest does that day, he makes atonement for himself and for his family, and then he makes for the sanctuary itself, because all sorts of things may have happened to bring impurity on the sanctuary during the year that maybe no one knows about. Maybe something was done by accident, they didn't even know about it. And the sanctuary itself, God has to make atonement for the temple, the actual physical building. And then last but not least, for all of the people of Israel. And all of this is going on, and it's such an amazing and awesome thing. And it's not really what most people have an idea, that Yom Kippur is just sitting around and beating your breasts and begging God for forgiveness. And it's really not much like that. There is one moment, there's a time where I have to admit I break down and cry every year. There's a song that we sing towards the end of the day, and it's this beautiful, joyous song, and people are dancing. You can imagine people at the end of a 25-hour fast are up dancing, and everyone's all dressed in white, and we're singing, blessed is the eyes that saw the smoke rising in the column from the altar. And blessed is the eye that saw the splendor of the high priest when he came out of the Holy of Holies in peace. And all these wonderful things, and it's this beautiful upbeat song, and then all of a sudden the tone stops, and we're brought back to reality. But all of this is gone because of our sin. All of this was taken away from us because of our sins. And it just sort of crushes the spirit, and you realize how bad off we are and how far we've fallen and how much work do we have to do. And how we have to repair our relationship with God. So it's a day like no other, really. And like I say, it's more important to me than any other day of the year.
Wow. You know, I understand the 25-hour fast is in lieu of what would have taken place at the temple, should it have been on the Temple Mount. And probably, I'm sure that's the driving motive to get that temple back up onto the Temple Mount so you can follow through with what the Lord has directed the Jewish people to do. But why 25 hours? Is that something special instead of a 24-hour fast?
This is just something that we do for every holiday. Every holiday lasts 25 hours because we have this thing that we sort of like to get a little extra of the holiness in there. And so instead of the 24 hours, we add a little, we start it a little bit early. This does all go back to everything that happened in the temple. Before we sing that song, that song I was just talking about, that comes at the end of, we walk the people through, step by step, everything that the high priest did that day. Because as you know, he conducted pretty much the entire service all by himself, all day. And we walk through everything that he did, every single step, so the people can imagine it. He's kicking up the hot, the coals and the incense, and the scraping up the ashes in the ash pan, and walking into the Holy of Holies, and the sprinkling of the blood on the curtain. And we walk everyone through it, step by step, so they can see it themselves in their eye, in their minds.
Wow, that is quite a reflection on the holiest day in Judaism, Yom Kippur. Well, now, upcoming next is Feast of Tabernacles, and that's a seven-day feast of time of rejoicing and a lot of agricultural aspects to it, etc. It's a great time. The people will have an opportunity to be living in a sukkah as they celebrate Feast of Tabernacles. That's a thatched hut that the Jewish people will build, and for 7 days during this holy day season, they will be involved in remembering how they were wandering in the wilderness for those 40 years. But it is a time when it was a pilgrim feast day, as I understand it. I want you to explain the pilgrim feast days. But the Temple Institute, led by Chaim Richmond, the international director of the Temple Institute, is going to try to restore that tradition of going to the Temple Mount. And there seems to be some problems that may be arising to stop the Jews from going up there. What's the latest on that?
Well, as you know, pretty much every holiday, specifically Passover and Sukkot, because those are seven-day holidays, so there are those intermediate days where people are off work. And a lot of people have the opportunity to come to Jerusalem. And they do. They come, and thousands of people come wanting to go up to the Temple Mount. The Muslims know this. And they figure that all they have to do is throw a few rocks, start a little bit of trouble, and the government will close down the Temple Mount to Jews. And they won't have to see these thousands of Jews coming up to try to reclaim the place where God put his name forever. And that's what they do, and that's what they're up to this time. They're even more frightened this year because of what the Temple Institute is planning. I don't know if you've seen, but there's an absolute media blitz. There's advertising everywhere. Come up to the Temple Mount. Beautiful photographs and everything. They really did a nice campaign, and I guarantee you thousands and thousands of people are going to come. It's all going to come down to whether the government says enough is enough, and they're going to implement and enforce Jewish sovereignty on that Temple Mount and let people come, or are they going to give in to the threats and the violence again? So I have a feeling that there will be visits to the Temple Mount. I don't think they're going to close the Temple Mount down. I just think that would just be, at this time, at this point in history, it'll be way too cowardly right now with everyone's eye on them.
What's going on in Israel is very important, and the celebration of Feast of Tabernacles. I ask and mention the idea of pilgrim feast days. Now, you mentioned Passover and Pentecost, Shavuot. And then, of course, Tabernacles is another pilgrim feast day. What were the Jewish people to do in biblical times?
Well, you're to come up, and you're to come up and be seen in Jerusalem. This is basically what God says. He wants the males to all come up and be seen before him in the city of Jerusalem and at the temple, and that's what it was about. And especially for Sukkot, the temple was amazing. They say, like the rabbis tell us, it was like nothing you've ever seen before. There was a celebration held in the big open courts of the temple. They had gigantic menorahs where men had to climb up ladders, sort of like telephone poles. And at the top of these things were gigantic menorahs with huge bowls of oil, and the wicks were actually made of old garments of the priests where they had gotten blood on them. They couldn't be used anymore. They didn't want to just discard them because they'd been used to do the holy sacrifice in the service. So they used them for the wicks, for these gigantic candelabras that were set up to light the whole courtyard of the temple up. And people had an amazing celebration there before God. They said the rabbis were actually, some of the rabbis, there's tales of Van Gamliel, who you probably know as Gamaliel, that he was a fire juggler, and he basically only did this once a year during the time of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. He would juggle fire for people.
This sounds like a joyous time, Feast of Tabernacles. However, at the same time, the Jewish people are living in their sukkah, somewhat of a thatched hut, to remind them of that wandering period of time, 40 years in the wilderness, before they came into the Promised Land. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and we still do it today. Every Jewish family builds themselves what's called a sukkah, a tabernacle. And it's sort of this thatched hut. It has to have a natural roof over it, usually made of palm branches, something like that. And you put that, you secure that to the top of it. There has to be enough space, and there has to be more shade than sun. But at night, you have to be able to see the stars. And it's sort of like you don't want to break that connection with heaven. You don't want to shut yourself out to heaven. God is calling us, you know, come out here and be with me and trust in me to take care of you during this week. And that's really what's going on. And people are singing songs there because the same term, sukkah, tabernacle, is used several times in the scriptures. And people sing a song that says, may the merciful one raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen. So it all goes back to the temple. All goes back to the temple.
And that is indeed the motivation for the Jewish people wanting to rebuild that temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Well, the Jewish feast, and we're in that season, Rosh Hashanah, the new year, Yom Kippur, the holiest day in Judaism, and Feast of Tabernacles, a great joyous time and remembering as well. All of these feasts having a historical significance and somewhat of an agricultural significance, but for sure a spiritual significance. Rabbi, it's always a joy to talk with you, and especially during this season, because you've given us great insight, good for us to all know about, as we stand on the sidelines watching the Jewish people celebrate these Jewish feasts that God gave them. Chag Sameach to you, my dear friend, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you for having me.